Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Yo, final hour of the day on this Wednesday, February 24th.
Hoody-hoo!
Kings basketball comes your way tomorrow. Jason Ross, Doug Christie here. In the final hour, we still got the crossover. We got some NFL news and notes to get to you at the bottom of the hour. Five on it, a historic one. Brand new, different kind of five on it. We'll explain coming up in a few moments. Grill, fire pit, outdoor heater. Cinch is the 100% answer for your propane needs. Cinch.com. I was just looking at this. I'm going to show you. I know it's a more of a video, audio medium for us, but see the Myles Garrett basketball video that's been out there for a little bit? He's just a monster. But isn't he like 6'3"?
He's a big man.
But he's just so put together. But he's dunking, shooting threes, just playing pickup. But imagine, that's LeBron, I guess, but about 5 inches shorter. Man. But he's just so ripped.
You making business decisions.
Yeah, trying to get in front. I mean, these are wreck guys, right? So, but that's scary when that guy's running at you as a quarterback, right?
I mean, I know some wreck guys that will wreck you.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
Yes. So tomorrow it'll be the Kings and the Knicks. And the Knicks are the team that actually helped the Kings get started the last time, Doug, when they went 7-1 over an 8-game stretch. I don't know if the same thing can happen today, but the good news on the Knicks front, I was happy for Julius Randle. We talked about Zach LaVine, but another first-time All-Star. That's really, really cool.
It really is. He's a kid that's had, up and down, fractured a leg first year, came back, left L.A., and now lands in New York. Doing good.
Doing great things. All right, let's do it. It's time for Five on It.
I got five on it. I got five. A look at the top five at five. A spin around the nation to hear five stories. Five people, five opinions. This is I Got Five on It.
All right, let's start Five on It with New York. Pat O'Keefe, Knicks post host for 98.7 News 12 in the Bronx. Pat, let's start where Doug and I were just talking about. Julius Randle, obviously having a great year. So happy for him to make the All-Star team. How rewarding is it for the Knicks and for him to be playing in the spectacle of the All-Star game? Do we have you, Pat? Let's see if Pat can hear us. Pat, you got us?
I'm here. Sorry, guys.
Oh, there you are. Sorry. So what about Randle? How exciting is this for everybody as a Knicks fan to get him in the All-Star game?
It's funny. It is exciting. And last night was an exciting game because it was the first night with fans back in the Garden, and probably about 15 minutes before tip-off, the announcement was made that Randle was an All-Star. We had our eye on this for a while. It's been a while since Nick was an All-Star 2018 with Porzingis, and they don't really care to talk much about him around these parts anymore. Before the game started, Randle came out to center court to thank the fans, welcome them back, thank them for their support, and they started chanting MVP, which was funny and a little ironic because last year the fans certainly were not chanting MVP for Julius Randle. He got an unnecessary amount of grief from the fans last year. I think he was kind of the signal for their failed offseason where they didn't get Kevin Durant, they didn't get Kyrie Irving. And then he didn't really play particularly well last season, and the fans really came down hard on him. Well, their first opportunity to show him some love this year, they certainly did that, and it was a nice moment at the Garden.
Pat, has playing in the Garden and running out the fans, it's a special bunch. I've talked to other people around the league that have had some fans. What was the vibe like with fans back in there last night?
It was cool. Right off the bat, too, the Warriors won the opening tip, so they had the ball. Knicks on defense, and Doug, immediately they went to the Oregon defense, right off the bat, fans were in, and that's where that chant originated, at least that's, the Knicks fans are credited for originating that chant inside the Garden, so there were only just shy of 2,000 fans there, okay. They were excited to be there, and I think making it even more exciting is somewhat unexpectedly, they came back to cheer for a team that right now is in the middle of a push for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and so the Kings will experience that tomorrow. What do you think the Knicks will do here, Pat, as buyers or sellers? Because obviously they'd love to make the postseason. What do you think they do around the deadline time?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be sellers. The only thing I could see them selling off would be Elfrid Payton, and I don't see there being a huge market for that. I know Tom Thibodeau likes his veteran presence anyway. I think the Knicks are going to be buyers, if anything, but I think they're going to be cautious with it. They had a chance to get Derrick Rose in the offseason. They didn't like the price. They waited. They picked him up in February. They had a chance. They went after Gordon Hayward in the offseason. They made him a nice offer, but Charlotte made him a better offer. Knicks didn't want to go that high. So Leon Rose has been a little cautious, not completely going for it, but they are more in the buyer camp than the seller camp right now.
I've watched R.J. Barrett. He's had some good games last night. Not obviously one of his best games, although be it 10 rebounds. When you look at him upside, what do you take from the young fella so far?
He's come a long way. Now, right now, he's in the midst of a rough stretch. His last seven games, Barrett is shooting 38% from the field. This is right after a 13-game stretch where he was shooting about 50% from the field. So you keep waiting for him to turn the corner because he's got a lot of the tools. He's got a great body. He's athletic. He can put the ball on the floor. He can get to the basket. As you mentioned, he can rebound. He can pass. His biggest flaw is still the shot. And some nights it's working. And more often than not, you get these 5-for-14 nights, 1-for-8 nights even. And he still has – look, he's 20 years old. He's in his second year in the league. But he still has a few too many of those 1-for-8, 2-for-9 nights. And the biggest flaw is he's just simply not a great shooter right now.
Pat, how does Rose fit in to the Knicks?
Really well. And his first four games, he really gave them a jolt. He lifted that entire second unit. It's a different Derrick Rose than we had here in New York in the 2016-17 season. And look, the franchise is in a different place. Rose, and he wasn't the only one, just didn't seem to want to be here then. He was moody the entire season. This is a different Derrick Rose. He's got a different perspective on his career, on his role. He loves coming off the bench. He and the rookie Emmanuel Quickley have teamed up really nicely together. Taj Gibson is actually back in the rotation because Mitchell Robinson is out for a while. And, you know, Rose and Gibson have been running that pick and roll together since 2011. So it's kind of like old times sometimes with them. And he's a leader on this team. You have Randall as the leader on the first unit. And Rose is the undisputed leader of this young second unit that they roll out there.
All right, Pat, thank you very much for giving us some insight. That's exciting, Doug. There'll be some fans. If it's 2,000 fans in New York at the game tomorrow, that will help the Kings, too. I know they're not for the Kings, but there's a good vibe and a good energy to that.
It's always a vibe, and 2,000 in the Garden must sound like a little bit more. In the Oregon? That's beautiful, man. That's good stuff.
All right, we told you it's a historic five on it. We'll explain as this goes along. Let's go to topic number two. We check in with the morning host.
Oh.
Right here of the Carmichael Dave Show. Carmichael Dave. But, Dave, I have to throw this with our topic here right over to Doug. Doug, you had something for Dave?
Oh, so Dave, I have a story for you. So my point guard in high school, right, his name was Adam Sedlick. So he was adopted. He was African-American. The family adopted him. They were white. And I used to go over to Adam's house all the time. They lived in a great neighborhood. So it was, you know, leaving my neighborhood, going there. Loved it. So he would cut his hair, right, you know, and we would – In the bathroom, they had marbles, white, different stuff. And if you have ever seen hair cut in African-American hair, especially we were giving ourselves fades and stuff, you get hair all over the
place.
Everywhere. And, man, I tell you,
his
mom, she would go nuts, Dave. And one day we were going to the game, right? And his mom's like, look, I don't give a damn. You guys are cleaning the hair up before you leave. And we're like, oh, man, we're going to be late. He said, don't worry about it, D. So we clean the hair up. I mean, when I say clean the hair up, D, I mean, I'm talking down to the last freaking follicle, okay? This everything is gone. And I tell you that story because guess what, Dave?
Yeah, I know where this is going.
I came into the studio today, and there was hair all over my station. And you have a beautiful Frenchie. I might want to say that. Might that have been his hair?
You know, it's funny, and I'm going to leave aside all the times that I have left over donut boxes in the studio. And move on.
Hey, yo, just so you know, there will be one in the morning.
Listen, as I was leaving today, and you know, I'm just saying this, hand to, you know, the fence in front of me.
Here comes a lie.
I said to Jason Ross, I said, Jason, I really need to clean this hair up. And he said, Doug won't mind. He loves Doug.
What is happening here?
Hey, let me tell you something. I didn't know that Mr. Ross was allergic to puppies.
I did not either. He was petting the puppy today. That's not a euphemism. And I...
well played, isn't it, right there?
Are you sure, Dave?
You know, it's funny. I will. I'm going to tiptoe here, and I'm going to echo what Doug said. My first cousins, three of them, Tantra, Cecile, and Nat, also are African American. Grew up with them.
Okay.
And I learned a powerful lesson about hair because growing up, I was very, very jealous because they had amazing hair, especially my cousin Tantra, who had, she's now a teacher in the Oakland School District. She still has the same hair, braids all the way down to past her shoulders. And I used to play with them and play with them all the time. I'd put her braids on my head. I wanted hair like that so badly. And then finally, she's about 5 years older than me. We were teenagers, and one time I was visiting her, and I'm playing with her hair, and she's the sweetest, nicest person in the world, really is. And she leaned into me, and she said, David, because I'm David to my family, she goes, you need to understand how long it takes for us to do our hair. Can you please stop playing with my hair? I love it, but you got to stop. And I learned a very powerful lesson right there that playing with hair isn't always, you know, the right thing to do. You have to be aware of your surroundings. So I hear you, Doug, loud and clear, and next time I hope Jason lets me clean that dog hair up.
But if you could have just seen the eyes, Doug, of Gus the Bus.
I did. Gus is the man.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought Gus it was your hair, Dave. My bad. It was Gus's hair.
Have you seen? Come on, man. that hair is of a darker persuasion. That is not yet. Mine will be more gray here very soon.
I have none, so you won't have to worry about that.
It's not coming from us. All right, that is Carmichael Dave on topic number two. We said it's a historic five on it because guest number three is Carmichael Dave.
Get out of town.
We have never had a guest appear twice in a row on five on it. But, Dave, we're going to another topic for you because – what is going on with you and NBA Top Shot? Explain.
I mean, how? Talk about it.
I'm going to do the best I can, guys. I had a friend about a month ago that said, you have to get into this NBA Top Shot. I said, what the heck is NBA Top Shot? He said, I don't really know, but you buy these cards, but they're like videos. And then you turn around and you sell them for more money. And I said, I like that. So I went on and I bought a bunch of cards and I put them up for double what I bought them for.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
So we just got to be clear here. So we got a timeline going, D. Yeah. So a month ago, you found out about something.
Yes.
That you could, make some money on.
At the time, I didn't know I could. I was just going on his word. So I bought some off the marketplace that they have there at NBA Top Shot. And I immediately put them back up on the site for twice what I bought them for. And the next morning, they were all gone. So I bought more.
We still didn't get a call, by the way, Ross. That's where I'm going here. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Doug, I've been down this road before, and let me tell you something. As a young athlete who I believe did not have an agent coming in, I'm sure you had all kinds of people that were like, hey, Christy, I got this great deal for you on this thing about this deal, and I need some cash, and then it didn't work out, and then it's awkward. I didn't know.
Well, I heard you turn 150 into a rack.
A bigger number.
Yeah. I heard you said you turned 150 into a grand.
I bought a Marvin Bagley, like, rare dunk. I don't know. It's a rare version of the card. I bought it for $274, and I went, you know, I'm just going to have fun with this. I'll put it up for $1,000. 2 weeks later, it sold. So I'm telling you about it now. That's why I was going to call anyway.
Just like you told me about the dog hair. Okay.
I see how he works. Yeah.
There's a site called NBATopShot.com. I don't understand any of it, but I know that you buy the thing and you sell it for more than you bought it for and profit. That's it. That's all I know.
Well, today, so I'm following you on Twitter, obviously, and a lot of people do. Yeah. Did you get a pack, or are you referencing other people that had a pack today in some of your tweets?
So they put these packs up at, like, random times, and you have, like, an hour's notice. And then you get in a virtual line. It's supposed to be randomized. Today they
are they 6 feet apart?
Yes, they're COVID friendly.
Okay.
There were 5,000 packs available today with three cards each or something. They were selling for $9. 5,000 packs, guys. I got in 10 minutes early. I got my randomized place in line. 5,000 packs available. I was number 74,630.
Wow.
Didn't make it. But a Twitter follower of mine got his pack. And again, $9 a pack. He showed me one of the cards. It was a Steph Curry assist. The lowest it's going for right now is $374. There's already been one that sold for $3,000, another one for $2,400. So it's basically you're waiting in line for a winning lottery ticket is what it is.
You need to get the pack somehow. If you're blessed enough to get a pack, you are going to make money.
You are 100%. It's not just you're going to make money, Jason. If you get a $9 pack, you're probably right now able to turn it around regardless of the card and make $200 to $300, if not more. I have yet to get a pack. I have not gotten a single pack. I've just bought them from people that are selling them at a markup and then reselling them for a markup. The scary thing, this is probably a flash in the pan, I don't know, but the scary thing is they're already getting licenses with baseball, NFL. There are so many different licenses, UFC out there to do this thing. I don't know if it's going to hold, but if it does, it's going to completely turn the whole trading card industry upside down.
Is it a stock? Can you buy stock in a company?
The best way I can explain it, which is a terrible explanation, is you buy a 10-second highlight of, let's say, a Doug Christie 3-pointer. Okay,
like let's go punch in Rick Fox.
That's gold.
Okay. I'm not even lying here. Like, I'm dead serious. I promise you, on God and my kids, I'm not lying. If they ever put out Doug Christie punching Rick Fox, I can promise you, at today's rates, you're probably talking a minimum of $5 to $10 grand instantly for that, if not more. They haven't even gotten into non-basketball moments yet. The Malice at the Palace, Kareem. I mean, so many different crazy things that have happened, and it's. There's only so many of these that are put out, whether it's 100 or 10,000.
When I got into the NBA, I had card deals. And so does the NBA give me – like, do I get one of those?
Well, they haven't done veteran players yet, right,
Dave? No. I'm saying, like, okay, if you're going to sell – for instance, let's just take Tyrese, for instance. Okay, if Tyrese – and he looks like he's active in this. Do they give him the same way
royalties.
If he signed – no, not royalties. Like, here is a pack of your cards.
Oh.
Well, Tyrese is very much into this, and he was actually opening up with Josh Hart cards online the other day. I think yesterday or the day before, he actually tweeted out. It's funny you mentioned him. He said, hey, I was going to buy my own card, but it's up to like $3 grand. Somebody help me out. A guy on Twitter contacts me and says, hey, I want to get this. I'll give Tyrese his card. Hook me up with him. They hooked up, and I'm pretty sure Tyrese got his own card from this guy. Now Tyrese's head, I'm telling you, you want to get Tyrese on your show? Ask if he'll talk about Top Shot, because that's all he's doing right now. And Doug, to answer your question, kind of the way they got this license was through the players.
Wow.
With the Players Association.
Wow.
Hey, I need my uppercut and
exactly.
My money. Dave,
let's get that on there.
Yeah.
You know, we can, like a lottery, we can go in together. We tried to get Chris. He kind of went against us. We kind of got a thing. Luckily, you get a pack. I'll throw some good juju in there.
There you go. Yeah, we like that. Okay. So there's a – wait, go ahead, Dave.
I said I'm in. I'm in 100%. You give me a chance to pony up with you guys, make it happen. Let's make some money. Of course, as soon as we do this, though, because I'm terrible at investing in anything, it will go downhill and crash. So just keep that in mind. This is not monetary or investment advice.
All right, there it is. Carmichael Dave joining us there. And now we get to topic number 4. And, oh, my goodness, it's Carmichael Dave.
Oh, man.
This has truly never happened.
Come on.
Back to back to back. Dave, we didn't get any Kings conversation with you the last time you were on.
Yeah, we didn't.
Let's get some
Kings. Hold on now. If I'm 3 guests, is this a fat joke? I mean, just be honest. Like, is this a fat joke because I'm 3 guests because I'm fat?
Chris said you wouldn't get it.
No. I am. I just got off my exercise bike, by the way.
I saw that.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I'm sorry we're bringing you on to talk Kings after 8-game losing streak, but you get to do that in the morning. So now you have a few minutes with us on where the Kings are going wrong. Does the streak end tomorrow, Dave?
No. But I think this has made Monty McNair, I don't want to say he's happy, but I think he was probably wringing his hands a little bit a couple weeks ago with that winning streak. I mentioned it reminded me kind of the Giants a couple years ago out of the blue contending and deciding whether or not they should hold on to Madison Bumgarner, who was a free agent. They held on to him. Of course, they didn't make the playoffs. I think Monty McNair's chessboard's in front of him now. I think he's got a 3-person core. And I think today was the first of quite a few moves we're probably going to see between now and the trade deadline and the start of next year. I know fans don't want to hear it, but I think we're now fully in wheel and deal mode.
So you said 3-person core. So Fox, Tyrese, and where were you? And it's okay because new information makes people change. Yeah. I've been in on Marvin since the beginning and caught some flack for it. I'm seeing the change. Is that your third core piece or no?
Yeah, no, it is. And some people may think he's not there or he won't be there. And I think that's fair. I think he is a core piece. I think the questions are almost entirely defensively, and a guy who's never been taught defense in his entire life, who's learning in front of us. But I also think the Kings, if you don't want to buy the player argument, buy the, let's use a poker term, the Kings are pot committed. They've got another year with Marvin at least. I don't see him having a tremendously high value enough to justify trading him and all the PR that would come with it. So I would be really shocked if Marvin Bagley wasn't here next year and beyond.
Are the Kings a buyer or a seller? And just to throw it out there, because I know you're a listener, I'm a Matisse Thybulle guy. Anyway, buyer or seller?
Yeah. Oh, they're definitely a seller. And okay. you mentioned Thybulle. I just wrote a freaking book that just went up at cage2k.com, breaking down every member of the roster, what I think is going to happen. I think Daryl Morey, who's with Philly right now, would love to have Buddy Hield next to Ben Simmons. The problem there, Doug, I think is salary. I think he wouldn't have any problem giving up their first-round pick. But you're going to need a Thybulle. You're probably going to need Danny Green, to be honest with you, to make the salaries work. So that's going to present a challenge unless you get a third team. But I honestly think the toughest decision he's got to make, Monty, is going to be with Rashawn Holmes. And he's talking to his agent. He's $5 million right now. He knows that. He knows what Rashawn's going to be asking for.
It
ain't that. And honestly, when you look at player comparisons, he's kind of in that Miles Turner-ish mode where you're looking at 15, probably 3 years, 45. Mm-hmm. If Monty right now doesn't think Rashawn's in the plans, and I love Rashawn and I love his family even more, you're going to need to use Rashawn to maybe slap Corey Joseph $12 million deal with him and try to pull something out of there. But I think you're going to see some wholesale changes here pretty soon.
Oh, Dave, he's moving and shaking. You can hear it in his voice.
That's right.
We won.
Your mama taught you that, Rashawn.
That's right. There he is. Carmichael Dave making history.
Yes, he did.
Back-to-back-to-back appearances on Five on It. Could there be a four-peat? No,
that is a negativity.
Because we are bringing on Frankie Cardicelli, co-host of the Return of the Roar podcast, which is now right here on KHDK and KHDK.com. He co-hosts that with our own Chris Watkins as well. Frankie, let's start with the podcast. I know you guys have been doing that for a while. We're excited that it's going to be on KHDK.com. It's more fun to talk about the Kings when they win, but what are some of the things that listeners can expect to hear with you and Chris on the podcast?
Well, first of all, thanks, guys, for having me on. And what a tough act to follow with Carmichael Dave over there talking about the Top Shot. I was wondering, though, real quick, I wonder if they have one of my high school layups. I wonder what that would go for on Top Shot. I'm wondering maybe in the 25%, 25-cent, 50-cent range.
But put it out there, Frank. You never know.
Yeah, get back to me. It's something I'm looking into for a little investment opportunity. But, no, the podcast, we're really excited about it. And, Chris and I, it's been in the works for probably a year and a half now, and Chris has worked really hard on it. He's really the man behind the production curtain, and I really owe it all to him with how far we've gotten. But like you said, it's more fun when they win, but hasn't been much of that going on lately, but we'll try to spin it how we can.
No doubt. We just asked Carmichael Dave, so I ask you, as you've been watching the Kings reporting, as the trade deadline begins to come upon the horizon, Kings at this point, buyers or sellers?
Oof, Doug, 2 weeks ago, I think the consensus around Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, with Kings fans was buy. They're in the seventh spot just 2 weeks ago, and now I think today it's pretty overwhelmingly positively that they're going to be selling. And where does that start? Because it could be Buddy Hield, it could be HB is your big ticket items, but I think you could see the smaller moves like Nemanja today. We saw Glenn Robinson the third get waived, but I think for sure we could do some movement in the next days, weeks, or hours even.
Frankie, I know you've done a lot of work covering the Kings for a while here for us, certainly in writing about it on KHDK.com. How much has landing Tyrese Haliburton and then watching him play even surprised you? I think everybody was pretty excited about him early on, but he's even gone to another level. What have you seen from him to get you excited about his future?
It's something new every night. It really is something new every night, and I don't think many Kings fans knew much about Tyrese Haliburton's game coming into draft night, but they learned pretty quickly, and he came in no summer league, not much of a training camp, and quick turnaround to get drafted, and you're playing in real NBA games not even 3-4 weeks later. So just the fact that he's a two-way player, he's so dynamic on offense, and his anticipation on defense is something that we haven't seen in a long time, maybe not even since the days of our guy Doug here. So It's really exciting just to see a player that can knock down open shots and he can push the pace. It's kind of like what the Kings had with Bogey last year, Bogdan Bogdanovic. The Kings, they let him walk this year in free agency, and I think a lot of fans wondered how would they survive without having really a playmaking guard behind De'Aaron Fox, and Corey Joseph isn't really the type of playmaker that Tyrese Haliburton is, so bringing a guy like that in to kind of just plug that gap, it's been you can't even put a price on the value he brings to the floor.
You know, Frankie, it reminds me, as you mentioned me, it reminds me a little bit the ability to do different things. The conversation has come up with starting him, not starting him. Where do you and your listeners stand on that?
The listeners, they probably stand on let's not just bench Buddy. They're on the let's move Buddy train. But, you know, as far as with Haliburton, it's an interesting conversation because the fact that they've lost eight straight might make you believe a lineup change could be coming. And that's just the question. Will lineup changes happen first or trades? And I would say it's more interesting on my end. I would like to see Tyrese start and have Buddy go to the bench because last year, Buddy, as a bench player, was way more productive than as a starter. His splits will show you that as a starter, he shot 37% from the three-point line as a starter. On the bench, 45% in just about as many games. So moving Buddy to that bench role, I know he's not a fan of it, but it could be pretty valuable because Tyrese and De'Aaron, they really play well together, and I think we all would like to see a little more of that.
All right, Frankie, thank you so much. That's Frankie Cardicelli, co-host of the Return of the Roar podcast, which you can now hear on khdk.com. Thank you to Frankie on this historic 5-on-it, 3 appearances by Carmichael Dave. Also, thank you to Pat O'Keefe. All right, that is 5-on-it. We take the break, come back, still have the crossover, and we've got some NFL news and notes to get to, including Nick Bosa saying he will be even better in 2021. We'll discuss that next on KHDK.
I'm trying to put you in the worst mood. P1 cleaner than your church shoes. 90.2 just to hurt you. All red lamb just to tease you.
Nice. All right, grill, fire pit, outdoor heater. Cinch is the 100% answer for your propane needs. Cinch.com.
It's a cinch!
Jason Ross, Doug, Christy back here. Final half hour. Got the crossover coming up in a moment. That was fun. That was a fun 5-on-it. Thank you to all the guys there. Couple things, too.
Uh-huh.
Oh, did you have something there?
No, I was just saying, Dave always plays along.
Yes, he does.
You can count on that.
One of the many reasons I love the NBA, Doug, just a big fan of the sport, big fan of teams, individuals, when stuff happens where it's your night, right? Right now, is it halftime yet? Let me get an update on this one. Nope, not even halftime yet. Oh, boy. Okay, so I told you about Boston. If there was heat, if the seat was simmering a little bit for Brad Stevens, they're playing Atlanta. So Atlanta's not great right now, 13-18.
Oh, boy.
Boston's 15-16.
Oh, boy.
I know you're supposed to say the high score first. I'm going to do it the other way just for dramatic sake.
So before you go on.
Yeah, because you don't know any of this.
No, I don't. I don't know anything. And do you think that, and I could be wrong, it could go the opposite way. Has he lost the room?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I'm not close enough to it, but okay. I don't think so.
And so that leads you to believe that I think that Boston's getting the hell out of beat out of him.
Yes.
Go ahead.
But I will say, I always go with the best team, the best, healthiest team. I know it's not Tatum that's out. It's not Jaylen Brown. They're two All-Stars. Marcus Smart means a lot to that team.
Yes, he does.
Kemba Walker's not playing tonight. So, I mean, those are two important pieces. Right now, Doug, they just scored. Good for Boston. Boston 47, Atlanta 70.
Ooh, whoa.
Right now, Trae Young and Danilo Gallinari 47, Boston 47.
Damn.
Gallinari's having a night. Seven. He just missed a three. He was 7 of 7 from three.
Oh, okay.
He has 24 points at the half.
See, the problem is Boston's going to overreact, meaning the community, the city.
Well, because it was already warm. Like, if this is a game on its own, okay, bad game.
But when a guy's doing that, that's kind of different. Where I'm asking you is, like, is this like a – you know who we need to just call right now, get him on the horn? It's Kyle Draper.
Drapes, yeah. He would know. He would have the temperature of what's going on there. I mean, when they came in here – right, they had just beaten the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Then the Kings beat them. They beat the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Lost to the Lakers. Okay. Yeah. Lost to the Spurs.
Which is not a good loss.
Got right against the Bulls, crushed the Cavs, lost to the Sixers, lost to the Sixers, lost to the Knicks, beat the Magic.
That Sixer loss
might
have done something to them.
Yeah, because that's a rivalry team that they've
had control of. You guys, did they beat them last year in the playoffs, did they not? I think they may have.
Yeah, I know that. I think the year before, for sure.
Because the Heat made it. Yeah. They got past Milwaukee. So they beat them. So to beat them back-to-back is kind of like we've grown and you haven't.
Yeah. And then you see recently here Detroit beat them. Washington beat them. They beat Denver, lost to Atlanta, beat Atlanta. Then the two they just had, the bad loss to New Orleans, bad loss to Dallas. Now they might lose to Atlanta again. I don't know. That kind of losing when there's expectations can cause teams to do something drastic. I think Brad Stevens would get scooped up pretty quickly. I think.
I do too, actually.
Yeah. And if it's not Stevens, then what? What's your answer? I mean, Danny Ainge handpicked him. He's been successful. He hasn't won a championship. He's been a good coach. I think people think he is a good coach. And I guess I know what you mean by lost the room. What does that mean to you, though, as a guy who's played?
Meaning, like, all of a sudden, okay, this is a team in the Eastern Conference Finals. They have two all-stars. Kimba's coming back. They got pretty good culture. But is all of a sudden, are they tuning Brad Stevens out? Like, is what he's saying? Because you know he's not saying probably a lot different than what he was previously. He's a pretty measured guy when he speaks. I see him like during the break or whatever, he talks to the team. Is it just like wah, 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 wah? Or, to your point, does Marcus Smart mean that much? I don't know.
It's hard not to hear the noise. It's hard not to overreact. That's why the leadership people that make the decisions hopefully are not too knee-jerk. But I think you have to gauge that. And that's talking to the players. That's watching the team play. This could be an isolated bad night. They haven't played well lately. I would try not to overreact, but, I mean, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, Miami was, too. They're below 500.
The problem is you're not in a – you're in Boston.
Right.
Media is different. They – like, you go on a – it's like they are at you immediately. New York, Chicago, it's a little different.
And does it go back to, or if you've won a championship, my example would be Eric Spoelstra. Like, he's got a couple of titles. They're 14 and 17.
Dougie B.
Right?
Philly, they ain't playing.
Right. He won a Super Bowl, the only one they've ever had, but they're not performing. You're gone.
You're gone.
Where Spoelstra, nobody's talking about him, and I'm not saying they should. But he's got more credit.
I don't know if it's credit or, and I don't mean this in a bad way, like...
Miami's not the same?
No, Pat Riley's got his back.
Okay. I believe Danny Ainge has got...
Because from... No, I'm not saying it... I guess it sounded like I was saying Danny doesn't. That's not what I mean. So, for instance, I thought, and tell me if I'm wrong if you didn't hear this, when Pat stepped down after the championship and Eric Spoelstra went to be the head coach, there was a little bit of complaining going on with some of the players. Like, is he the guy? And Pat put his foot down like, that's the dude. Deal with it. That's kind of all that. Have you ever heard anything about Spo? No. And he's a damn good coach. And I think that sets the tone. I just don't know, has he lost the room? Because that would only happen if you lose the room where you need Danny to step in and do something like that. Otherwise, it's just they're going through a tough patch and they'll work it out and figure it out. But the press doesn't sound that way in Boston. I saw a couple things. I was like, damn, y'all, really? But that's their vibe. And I can't wait to talk to Drapes because he would know better than anybody because he was there for a number of years.
He would.
Yeah, and like, hey, this is how they are, D. They don't play around.
Yeah.
Watch out.
All right, so there's some NBA from tonight. I want to get some NFL news and notes out here. Nick Bosa, 49ers defensive end, who's been great this last year, though got injured, says almost like as a casual warning out there, Doug, that he will be even better in 2021. That's an athlete talk, and I'm sure there's ego in there, but that's a guy who's backed it up before. And if there were no complications from injury, I don't know really what you would argue with that. I don't know why he wouldn't be better or the same, right? Like, if he's fully capable of doing everything he did before, he'll be great.
I think you take the if off that, because if he's saying that,
then he believes it.
Yeah, he must have some measurables, and he's like, oh, man.
I'm right where I was, if not better.
Oh, no, I'm better.
Yeah. I'm smarter. I've been around.
Yeah, if you're right where you were, you don't say that.
Okay.
If you're like, oh, yeah.
I actually worked on my body, yeah. And I already had that as a weapon.
Right.
But it's
lateral
better.
Lateral quickness.
Oh, I'm faster.
Bendability.
Got it.
You know,
stronger.
Bench press,
yeah.
Not just strength, actually usable
yeah.
strength like he's seeing probably, and he's like, you know.
And I've played. Those unknowns are gone. Like, I get the league.
Yep.
I know other good tackles.
This is my vibe.
Against. I've seen double teams. I've seen triple teams. I've seen single coverage. I'm ready.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty good.
He's really good. He is really good, and he would help any team. Certainly he'll help the 49ers. CBS, this is more of a broadcasting note. They're not going to bring back Rich Gannon as an analyst. I think he was about fourth in the pecking order. I know they kind of have their lead lead guys and second in broadcast teams. I don't know. It didn't sound like there was much more than that, just not renewing a deal, but wouldn't be surprised if he gets scooped up. He's done a good job over
the years. I wouldn't know, Rick. If I heard him, does he do a good job?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've heard him. You just, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I witnessed like.
Rich Gannon does a good job. I think he's had different partners over the years. I know he's had Kevin Harlan at times, and I can't remember who
Kevin,
it was this last
solid.
Year. Right. So, I mean, Kevin leading the way and him giving his.
Well, what number was he?
On the pecking order?
Yeah.
I think he was fourth in the CBS order. And,
okay.
But I think it was just kind of, I don't know if mutual, but I just think they decided not to bring him back.
Like Charles Davis moved up.
He did. And he changed. He went from Fox to CBS. So maybe Gannon goes to Fox.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. 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 That's different. You usually, and it's demotion.
Or well, yeah. I mean, unless he gets hired elsewhere, it's fine. But if he doesn't,
maybe they're choosing not to do it because he knows that he's going to make a.
Yeah,
different type of movement.
Could be. Who knows?
Not lateral.
Yeah.
Moving on up.
We said in First Things First, it looks like Pittsburgh's going to opt to bring back Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Your overall thought on this, Doug, is a good move, right move, questionable move for the Steelers?
That AFC, man, I don't know. I mean, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, who is, you know, I guess if they're thinking that, not that Ben was a problem, I don't mean it that way, that the pieces that we're going to put around him are going to make us, to take us to where we need to go, it makes total sense. They met and the cap hit's going to be different. Do they have enough money to do all the things that they want? That's where I think comes into play and that they had to look at it. Is a team built for now? Going 11-0 in the league, I don't care.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were that.
You didn't look into all of them.
Yeah, I didn't think they were that. I think for a few weeks you had them number one. I don't know if I ever had them number one. Maybe 1 week.
Right.
It might have been. I just didn't vibe it. But might they get the running game and different things into play? How much do you think they're going to depend on Ben? That's, I guess, the question, because – if you don't have a running game, you're dependent on him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have a running game, but you pay Juju Smith-Schuster like a number one, what's the sense? Because
right.
Are you getting him the ball? I just don't. I'm not vibing this one.
Yeah, I feel like they have this to me. The length of time it took him. Not that it took forever, but they didn't decide this the day after the season. They took their time on this. I felt like this was one of those meetings they had in a conference room, and whether it was Zoom or they had everybody in there, and they said, all right, here's our GM, here's our president, here's maybe our head coach, here's our cap expert. What makes the, you know, pros column, cons column? Like,
yeah.
Because, okay, here's what we would look like if we moved on from Big Ben.
Okay.
Here's what we look like if we keep him. I think all the answers pointed to a more successful season by keeping him, and I think it would be regardless,
But how quickly are you better by moving on? Can you make one more run at it, two more runs at it with him?
Who's their backup?
They had Mason Rudolph, and then they signed Haskins.
So maybe they're saying, let's see what we got in Haskins while we still got Ben. Yeah. Maybe he can get through to the kid
he's
and
our
teach
starter.
Him if he's going to be our starter going forward, because I don't think Mason Rudolph is the guy. Otherwise, they got to spend one of those draft picks to get a quarterback.
Yeah, so we'll see. But Pittsburgh ultimately making that decision, they will go forward with him. All right, final segment. When we come back, we still have the crossover to get to. We'll also get you caught up on the other games in the NBA and look ahead to the Kings and the Knicks. We'll do all that in our final segment. That's straight ahead here on KHDK. Final segment here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Been a fun show. Covered a lot of different things here, including our – we had our All-Star Draft. We talked a little bit about that. Debuted either or. Tomorrow it'll be the Kings and the Knicks, Doug. Kings did beat them the first time. I think the matchup is fairly favorable for Sacramento. Julius Randle certainly will be a problem. But they got a few injuries. I think Mitchell Robinson's out. Nerlens Noel is questionable.
I'm calling it. Kings win.
Was that with his chest?
Excuse me. I'm calling it. Kings win.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
Why?
First of all, I think it bothers them a little bit, and I like that.
I thought they played like that yesterday, that yeah. It bothered them.
And if they play the way that they've played normally, with the exception, and I'm even taking this recent skid out, the 2-8, there was in there, I didn't know what was happening. But when they've played with the starting five consistently, they've played well. I just think that Tyrese has found a real rhythm. I think that you're going to probably see an earlier hook. Like if Buddy's not going, they're going to roll. And I think that's going to help Buddy. I think it's going to light a fire under him, and he's going to probably knock down four or five tomorrow. I can see them beating these guys.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now Randall's a problem.
Right.
He is. He's like triple double every night down there. Woof.
Well, one guy they won't have to guard him, whether or not he would have, but may have to protect the paint. Kings are now listing center Hassan Whiteside out against New York due to health and safety protocols. So I saw the league listed today that only two players out of the last 400 and something tests tested positive. I hope that's not the case. I don't know. That's but that he is out for health and safety protocols.
Know what I mean by that, huh?
No, you mean, huh.
Okay. Give it to me one more time, Chris.
Huh.
You get me?
Huh.
Huh.
Yeah. So we shall see.
I saw rumors.
Yeah?
Yeah. Surrounding me every day.
How do rumors get started? Started by the jealous people?
Yes. Well done. So I don't know. We'll see on that
one. Yeah, but regardless, he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
Tomorrow.
Hopefully he's safe first. And
absolutely,
foremost, I'm joking about that.
And I mean, he didn't play last night. I mean, I think if Luke, and I thought Luke went for it last night too. Talking about minutes, like Tyrese played 40. Buddy played. I mean, everybody, the top six played basically 30 plus.
We can't talk about rumors like we talk about someone as they age in sports.
What do you mean?
Oh, he had a great game tonight. He's 39.
Uh-huh.
He's 41. Nah, I don't want to hear numbers. Oh, Tyrese played and he played 40. Come on, man. 40's nothing.
I'm with you. Go for it. He'd play 48 if you'd let him.
LeBron James is playing 40.
He's playing every game,
okay.
Too. I think right now, is he second or third in minutes in the league?
Yeah.
Third.
And he's first this month in minutes.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Listen.
It's a good game
I played
tonight.
40 many, many times. Listen, is it hard? It is.
Yeah.
That's why you take care and service your body. Their bodies are being taken care of and serviced more than in any time in human history.
Yep. Hey, I can relate. I watch all 48 every night.
I do too.
It's hard. It's cool. Difficult. Jazz Lakers tonight. Lakers have stumbled a little bit. Is that a big game?
Except what people don't know about Jason is if it goes to overtime, he's out.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't sign it for overtime.
You out?
Yeah. It's not in the contract.
Lakers going down tonight.
Well, then, is it trouble? Like, they would have lost, like,
I think
5 of 6.
This is what they're not judged by now.
Not at all.
So, will it be something to talk about? Yeah. But when AD is back and they are healthy, then. And I think you're seeing Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, that helps.
He's
I mean,
a dude.
He hurts too. Yeah,
he is. He's a dude. Defensively,
he's a dude.
He is he's for sure.
All right, time for the crossover. What do the guys from the morning show have for us today?
What's happening on the Carmichael Dave Show? Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Do you believe it?
Here's today's crossover.
Jason and Doug, it's very simple. Starting yesterday, we created a game. It's King's Bingo or Kingo. For example, Tyrese Halliburton goes 10-5-5. De'Aaron Fox has 25 or more points. You make a bingo board.
Marvin Bagley airballs a three.
No, we're staying positive here. Doug and Jason, both members of the broadcast team, and really especially Doug, because I believe this is impossible. What type of bribery would it take for one of you to yell out Kingo on the air if one of those things happened? What type of bribery, charitable donation, you name it. I said Doug can't be bribed. I know Jason can be bribed with a good gumbo, but there's a really high bar to set there. Thank you. Love you. Love your show. Screw you, Chris.
I was here live in the studio when that happened. So I told afterwards, when he finished it, just so you know, I said, probably not much, because remember, they were giving us words to say during the broadcast during kind of the seeded games.
I'll take a pack of Top Shot.
Oh,
and I won't say it till I get it, Dave.
I like it.
Oh, that's from well the corner.
I think
Kingo.
No, I think you need to do. Have you seen Inglourious Basterds?
It's been a while, but
okay.
Yes.
I think you need to say it like the guy there. Ooh, that's a Kingo.
Ooh,
so basically,
that's
a
Kingo.
Got it. They're thinking of making that bingo board, Kingo board, and if you get the, you know, like you do in the bingo game.
If I receive my pack.
You're in.
You'll hear it.
Yeah.
It might just come out because
that was pretty smart
of
you.
It's kind of in my head now, but
I see the motivation.
Yeah, you see that,
the motivation. That's all, Dave. Give him a pack of Top Shot and you're good.
Yeah.
Kingo's coming your way.
Hey, golden. Right as rain.
Right as rain. All right, tonight in the NBA in our closing moments, we told you about Atlanta and Boston. Man, Atlanta is up 20. At 73-53, that's in the third quarter. Cavaliers lead the Rockets 61-60. Heat up one on the Raptors. Raptors have made it all the way back to 500, Doug. Remember, they were way down there. Now they're 500 again.
I mean, they are scrappy, the right word?
They are.
I don't know. They have a winning culture.
They have a championship culture,
yes,
right? They don't
absolutely.
Have they don't have the best player anymore in Kawhi, but they have the culture.
Player development. I think that it is. That's when you say, oh, we're not good defensively. Listen. You can play defense.
Mm-hmm. Find a way.
They are undersized most nights, but they compete. They pick up. They get after it. They're handsy, as I like to say. Yeah. Yes.
Warriors are down 2 to the Pacers at the half, 58-56. Bulls lead the Timberwolves 57-51. You got the Pistons up on the Pelicans. And then the Spurs, we haven't seen them yet. They're 45-40 lead on the Thunder. So Spurs have been playing well, 5 games above 500. We mentioned the Lakers and the Jazz. The other game that's still to come tonight, Hornets and the Suns. And Charlotte's here on Sunday. And I know head-to-head doesn't always mean anything in the rookie of the year battle. But right now it sure seems like it's Tyrese versus LaMelo Ball. And they play for the first time on Sunday.
I think it is. And I think in a lot of ways that'll go a long way to what happens.
Yeah, but a King Charlotte game is not getting national love.
No, it's not. But one thing, LaMelo, Jordan, Charlotte, similar in a lot of ways to Sacramento,
yeah.
But it's Eastern Conference. People don't stay up and watch Tyrese. That's why go to the Garden, young fella. Get you a W. Show out. Give me a triple-double
show
tomorrow.
Out for show.
Yeah. I mean, right. 10, 10, and 10. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And a dub.
Yeah, and a dub.
The dub.
8 is enough.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
All right. 10, 10, 10 a dub equals, don't you?
What?
Sacktown 50. Right, Sacktown 5-0. I already messed it up.
There you go. It was well done.
Trademark. TM, Doug Christie.
LLC.
Did you check that one out?
Yeah.
What's that?
Did you check that one?
If it's trademarked.
Oh, I couldn't find it.
Get on it, Doug. Get on.
Are you asking on the air? People are listening.
No, they're not. Not right now. They didn't hear it.
Oh, no, they're listening.
Yeah, I know.
We're number one.
That's right. All right, that's it for us. We're going to be back not till Monday. Kings are interrupting us for the next 2 days. Kings and Knicks, Kings and Pistons. But we will be back Carmichael Davis back in the morning with Jay Marsh. Check that out. We thank all of you for listening right here on KHTK.